Have you been looking for your keys to success? You have found the best place to start. We will hear from professionals on different keys to success in building huge careers in and outside the mortgage industry. These conversations that each person will share their experience will allow you to hear nuggets on finding your keys to success. I'm your host, Sue Meitner. So let's get started and grab your keys. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Grab Your Keys. I could not be more excited to have Jen Groover on. I met her at an entrepreneurs organization event for everyone, but it was on Women's Leadership Day and celebrating women. And you are just someone totally to celebrate, Jen. You have done it all, I think. I really respect everything you've done. Like, you've built an empire based on, you know, your strength and your drive. So Jen, why don't you welcome to Grab Your Keys, and why don't you tell everybody a little bit about how you became an entrepreneur?
Well, I appreciate it, Sue, and it was really fun meeting you that day at the event. So I'm glad we made this happen. I have been a serial entrepreneur my whole life. And last week was my birthday, by the way. And
Happy birthday.
It was my daughter's birthday. So my voice from like over talking for the last 2 weeks is like stressed. Anyway, you know, I joke and I told the story that day, but I think it's important in this format to share. My first real experience as an entrepreneur, I look back and laugh, happened when I was in first grade. And Sister Elizabeth tied me to my chair, and she thought my actions were being disruptive. And thankfully, my mom saw my navigating the classroom and having conversations a little bit differently. My mom saw it as an opportunity for being curious and engaging, and said to Sister Elizabeth in front of my impressionable six-year-old mind that day that she was working on her networking skills, which are going to be really important to her growth later in life. And so back then, you know, your brain is absorbing this information in a subconscious mind, but not really understanding it. And right. So you get older and those memories come back and you're like, I wonder if I was on the path to already becoming that, or if that moment made me. And we don't really know, but I know for sure. My networking skills through grade school and high school and college definitely became very much who I became as an entrepreneur. And Right. Everyone looked to me as the social director. You know, just call Groover. She'll tell you everything going on, and she'll guide you where to go. And those skill sets are all very important as an entrepreneur. So, but I started my real first business out of college in the fitness industry when the fitness industry was very young, and kept going on my journey, building in a non-traditional way, at least back then. Entrepreneurship wasn't even really cool back then. It was in the mid-90s. And you had to pick one thing and be good at that one thing forever. And I was like, no, I don't want to be good at just one thing. Like, I need to be good at a lot of things. We're multi-talented, multi-passionate people. But the world wanted to put one label on you, or you were distracted or unruly or unsuccessful. Where now we can see how the world changed since then. But, you know, as an entrepreneur on this journey for quite some time, I always approached building as my last act, just build to my next act, and built new skill sets to make me a better version of myself for the next version, and so on and so forth. So that to me is what a true serial entrepreneur is.
Right.
Willing to take risks, never allowing other people to tell them that they could only be as big as the world wants them to be, but to be as big as they decide they're going to be for themselves.
Right. I love that. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about the book that you just wrote, and why you wrote it, and then we'll go into the keys that you feel are to success.
Sure. So the latest book is called The Moore Method. And The Moore Method is a culmination of my 25 plus years of teaching human behavior. My degree is originally in psychology and education. And my lifelong training has been, of course, entrepreneurship. And along the way, I've had some really incredible mentors, especially in my younger 20s and early 30s. Mentorship was a huge part of my acceleration to being successful in my entrepreneurial endeavors. I always approach life as a sponge, even now, at this stage of life, to learn what I don't know and learn from each other's experiences. And so The Moore Method was my second book. And it was teaching people to become more, to achieve more. And we're always setting out to want more, desire more money, more success, more time, more everything. And I kept saying to people, you have to become more in order to get more. You can't just say, I want these goals and not change who you are. That was the secret of it all, is you could set all these goals that you want. You're not going to achieve those goals unless you become a better, more expansive version of yourself in the process. And so The Moore Method brings together multiple disciplines of education, psychology, physiology, nutrition, quantum physics, metaphysics, neuroscience, and more in a really fun storytelling manner to teach anyone anywhere to get from where they are to where they want to go in a very manageable formula that anytime you get stuck, you can go back to the book, go back to this simple formula and repeat so you can reset. And we're constantly resetting who we are.
Right.
We go and
for sure.
We achieve something. And then we're like, okay, I want to go up again. And I call that the hot air balloon evolution. You take off by getting rid of the sandbags, which is your stuff, your limited beliefs, your sabotaging behaviors to get to the next level, and your perspective changes, you change. Then you get bored again and you're like, I want to go to the next level.
Right.
Go back and do the same thing. Get rid of that stuff that's holding you down. So it's a repetitive formula that anyone can use. And it's literally, you could be 14 to 84 and get so much out of it. And I was really excited releasing it, except for my launch date happened to be March 14th, 2020. And so we did a softer launch then and made it to a later date to really launch it. But have my third book underway right now.
That's great.
Thank you. It's about really approaching business with a win-win mindset. How to help you get
winners win more.
Yes. Win more.
Winners win more. Yeah, yes. Like your book says.
Yes, winners win more. So, you know, if we approach life by how do I give you what you want and I can get what I want, we all win. And it's about being less transactional and more strategic and abundant minded in our interactions with each other.
Yeah, that's great. I can't wait to read that one. Thank you. What do you feel your three keys to success have been? If you're going to boil it down to three.
Number one is always having a solution-driven mindset.
I love that. Solution-driven mindset.
Yes. Too many people, Sue, waste too much time and energy focused on the problem and not getting to the solution.
Yeah.
And in that focusing on the problem, they become the complainers, the excuse makers, and the victims. And I say to my team and any of my colleagues or any of my clients, all right, we see the problem. Let's not talk about it anymore. Let's talk about the solution. That's where the energy needs to go.
Yeah, I always tell the people who work with me, if there's a problem, think of a solution and come to me with what the solution is to the problem you're going to tell me about.
Absolutely. So, Sue, that's really funny. My mom was old school Italian, like Brooklyn, New York. She was tough. And Vince Lombardi was my uncle, her uncle, by default of it was my grandfather's best friend. So he impressioned her mind a lot as a kid, and she had a lot of that toughness about her. And she would always say to us, "You have lost your right to complain unless you come to me with a solution with the complaint." So we were not allowed to complain about something unless we equally showed up with a solution. And I tell parents this all the time right now. That is such a gift to give to your child, because it literally hardwires their brain to go from problem to solution, because the ego still wants to get that complaint in. When you're, you know, you want to still be able to complain, but then if you show up the solution, now you can move on from the complaint. And eventually your brain's like, you know what? I'm not going to waste the energy on the problem identification here, the complaint. I'm just going to focus on the good stuff, is the innovation of the solution.
You had said about Vince Lombardi when we were together, and I thought, you know, everyone has a couple degrees of separation. My aunt and uncle in Potomac, Maryland live in Vince Lombardi's house.
Get out of here. That's so crazy. That is hilarious.
Well, that's hilarious. When you said it, and then now that you said it again, I was like, oh, I have to tell her.
Yes, that is so crazy. That is amazing. I'm so glad you shared that with me.
There's like always a couple degrees of separation that connects people in some way. And if you, you know, develop a relationship or feed into like having a conversation with people, you really do realize how much you have in common and how you can connect. And I'm all about that relationship. So I agree. But I love the story with your mom and having that solution. And I didn't actually think of it myself to, you know, tell my children that. I tell my staff that, but, you know, I'm going to take that once. I'm sure my 20 somethings will love that when I start that today.
Yes. I love it. No, it's never too late. So it's never too late.
Yeah. So that was number one, was having a solution-driven mindset. How about number two?
This was the premise of my first book. My first book was called What If and Why Not? And in business, especially as an entrepreneur, everyone wants to tell you why something isn't going to work, why it's going to fail. And I started navigating the world, challenging people by saying, well, what if it does? What if it does work? And what if now's the time to do it? And what if I'm giving you an opportunity to be a part of it and you said no and your competitor says yes? And that simple what if question kept getting people to see possibilities. And in that, although that's not my number two, it's the open-mindedness that, so asking what if and why not, but the number two is staying open-minded and curious and not thinking you know everything regardless of your level of success, and not thinking that you've peaked, because there's always another chapter. If you look at the different success stories of different icons of our time, most of them happened in their 50s. And so if you get to a certain stage or a certain title and you think you know it all, or you don't have time to entertain that random phone call that could turn into something crazy, then you're shutting down these opportunities that the universe is trying to provide for you.
Yeah. So yeah, that resonates with me too. I love that one also.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I'm very spiritual, and I believe that the universe does align and conspire. And if we're closed-minded, we don't see literally the gold dropping in our lap, because we expect it to look like gold in that moment versus actually having it be an opportunity of something you're going to unpack.
Yeah. And I think that having sometimes a quiet mind allows you to have that open-mindedness, so to have those thoughts coming in. I always tell people, like, so you to learn is so important, and to have that open-mindedness to learn is super important.
Agreed. I completely agree. And the third one is having more fear of regret than failure. Navigating the world way more afraid of living with regrets. And that came to me early on in my career when I started getting jealous that other people were doing things more than I was. And I asked myself this inquisition process that one of my mentors taught me. When you get stuck or you get angry, you get frustrated, instead of blaming the outside world, ask yourself, what am I doing to cause this? And that was a big thing for me, is what are they doing that I'm not doing, and why them and why not me?
Right.
And I realized that everyone that was playing at a bigger level weren't playing with fear, or if they were, they were doing it despite the fear. And my fear of failure, based on my dad was a drill sergeant in the Marines.
Wow.
And yeah, it was intense. So it was very
intense. Very an Italian intense. Mom and a drill sergeant.
German too, by the way. So hardcore, like, yeah. So emotionally unavailable, yeah, all of it. So basically he had the failure's not an option mindset. And I learned later in life, that's great on a battlefield, totally get it. But if you teach a child failure's not an option, if that child has good self-preservation skills, they're just gonna not do anything they're gonna fail at. And so I would play it small compared to my potential, because I was afraid that if I failed, I was a failure.
Right.
Until I realized, no, wait, everyone fails on their journey to success. It's just what you do with that that makes you not a failure.
Right.
And so I created this mantra. I have more fear of regret than I have a failure. And failure is just part of the process on the journey to success.
Yeah, because everybody fails. And it really falls into your number two, because when you fail, you learn.
Yes, you
and do. That allows you to have that open-mindedness that it's okay. And then you can really, you know, come up with the go into number solution. One and come into the solution. So yes. That definitely, they all relate and they're all amazing. So
I appreciate that. Yeah. You know, when you learn to become resilient and adaptable and realize, like you said, you know, there is no great successful person that you could ever meet that said, I didn't fail. It's that they learned in that process that things don't sometimes work out. And the only time you actually fail is when you quit.
Right.
Or you become the victim. And if you look at it and say, okay, that didn't work out. Ooh, that stung a little bit. That didn't feel so good. But what is the opportunity here? Where do I grow? How do I learn from this? Become bigger, stronger, faster, more agile. Now you've succeeded. And you can, to going back to the very beginning, you become more in that process. Therefore, everything you touch becomes more too.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love all that. There were so many nuggets in that 10 minutes that we just went over that I want everyone to really think about and maybe even re-listen to them, because they really resonate with everyone, everyone who's building their business, everyone who is in a sales position, anyone who's raising kids, like in every way, you can use those three in every scenario. Right. Jen, who do you admire?
You know, this is always such a difficult question for me, because it's so many people for different reasons, right? There's not one person I'd say I put on a pedestal.
Right.
But there's different attributes of people that I put on pedestals. I would say the characteristics that I admire the most.
Yeah, that's great. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, resiliency, grit, determination, and someone who can get knocked down and keep getting up. That whole, you know, and again, not because we're from Philly, but that whole Rocky vibe, that whole underdog, I fires me up. It really does, even now. And I also, because my dad being so strict and tough on me, you know, I've noticed how overall in our society, people have gotten lazier and less respectful of their own professionalism and ability to follow through or be resilient or not make excuses. And as much as things happen in the world, and I'm the first one to say, like, look, someone got caught in traffic. Sometimes it happens. It's just, right. It's under control. I can't get mad at someone for that. But in life, if you're somebody now who more than ever, who follows through, who has grit, who has determination that says, you're going to say no, but I'm going to make you say yes, or you're going to say no, and I'm going to follow and find the other person that's going to say yes, that those characteristics, along with loyalty, honesty, and transparency.
Loyalty is so important. Transparent. Yeah. All of those are amazing.
Yeah. So that's the attributes that I love. And a leader that's not afraid to say, you know what? I was wrong. I messed up. I could have done it better. And that to me is amazing as well.
Yes, I agree. You're a mom that's a serial entrepreneur. You have children, girls, and how do you balance it all? How do you be there as the mom and that you want to be while also being the businesswoman, leader, entrepreneur that you want to be? I think a lot of people who are listening to this are struggling today in, you know, trying to be the best mom and the best leader and be there all the best salesperson and being everywhere at every place. How do you balance that out? And how did you, I know your girls are older now, but you still are dealing with it, but how did you deal with it? And how do you deal with it? If you don't mind me asking.
So Sue, in all fairness, I will disclose my kids are in college, so I'm at an easier
stage. Mine too. I'm there with you.
However, my ATM gets hit a lot more. Yeah. And the questions that they're asking, what they're needing me for is so different, right? So yes. I'm helping them with their summer job applications now. I'm helping them with their moving and roommate dilemmas and all the... So they need you, it's just different. But I will address, you know, going back to those younger years, some of the things I discovered. First, balance doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's an illusion, but how I created my own version of balance was when I was working, I would use it as an opportunity to rejuvenate me as a mother. And when I was in my mom time, it will rejuvenate me for my work time. So instead of feeling like I'm not doing any of it right, I would try to be more present in that hat that I was wearing at that moment in that phase or stage that I was in. And it would give me more energy. And that's what we're really looking for, is not feeling so depleted all the time. And then quite honestly, Sue, I also found you can't have it all at one time, but things happen in different phases and stages. And there's certain times you're sprinting, and then there's certain times you dial it back a little bit based on the demands of your family. And early on, a client of mine gave me incredible advice when my kids were very little, and I kept feeling like, I'm not doing any of this right. She's like, no one feels like they're like, yeah, I'm the best mom and yeah, I'm the best career woman. She's like, but when they're littler at that stage in diapers and stuff, you know, other people can give them bottles and change their diapers. When they get older is when they really need you more. So you should hustle now so that when they get to middle school and high school, you have more flexibility to have control of your schedule. And that's what I did. And COVID forced it upon me, but I was going in that direction anyway with those 4 years in high school, that I was dialing it back and saying no to a lot more things that didn't give me the best ROI of my time, and backburnered some projects, knowing, okay, these are the 4 years that they really do need the most, where present and the friends and where they're spending their free time and who they're spending it with and
what they're on social media doing and everything.
All of that. And then prepping for college and going on college tours. And so I was able to have that. Again, COVID forced it on in a whole different level, but I was able to have that flexibility and I'm grateful for that. And I really do value that someone gave me that advice when they were little, so I could mentally start to prepare that. And then once they went to college, I've been having a field day. I mean, yeah. they love it too. And one's in Charleston and the other one is in Arizona at Arizona State. So I visit them a ton too. And I can have that flexibility with work, but, when I was crying for that last year and then dropped them off at college and flying home from dropping Morgan off at Arizona State, I was like, wait a second, I could work for the first time in 18 years without feeling guilty. Yeah. What am I going to do with all this free time now?
I know, it's so funny. I always got home between 6 and 7 o'clock and, you know, the mortgage market, which is my profession, was slower when I got when I had both my kids in college, and I was like home by 6 every night. And I was like, oh my gosh, why did this not happen? Like an extra hour, like why did this, and not having so much crazy when the kids weren't in school. But as you said, everything happens for a reason. And you need to take joy and blessings in, you know, everything that happens. I know you're writing a third book. We can't wait for that to come out. What's in the future for Jen?
I'm having the time of my life, Sue. I really am. Speaking still a ton, and then building other brands. I have a lot of great brands in all different industries that are clients of mine, that I, you know, food brands to restaurant brands to, beauty, lots of beauty brands and technology brands. I'm either on the board for or they're clients of mine, bringing them to life through, Amazon and QVC and other traditional retail. And I'm really just having so much fun doing all the strategic partnerships that come along with that. And that's my wheelhouse, to connect people and make things happen. That's my high. So,
yeah, as it was when you were in grade school and, yes. You know, you just took that straight through. And that's so important to, you know, it was so important that your mom saw that love of networking in you and didn't squish it, but actually, you know, embraced it and fed it so that you could really flourish. And I think that that's so important, even for moms and families to hear, you know, it does take a village. And you need to love on that, but you need to love on every individual's gifts. And they show them pretty early on in life.
Yeah, so, they do. Sure. They do. And it's really important to not squash them and yet nurture them and find their purpose. And no one taught you in school, your net worth is your net worth. But my mom would say it to me all the time, like, sorry, whether you like it or not, who you know is everything.
It's everything.
And having that trust to call somebody to get something done is going to take you from here to here or here to here pretty quickly. So, I value relationships. I get my high off of connection and helping people out and connecting people. You connect people, you connect currency, and that all kinds of currency, not just financial currency, all currency. So.
For sure. Well, you have been amazing today, and our viewers, I know, have loved listening to you and will love listening to you. You have given us so many fantastic nuggets to take with us and keep an open mind and to solve problems and everything else that you said. So we appreciate your time and thank you so much, everyone. We have amazing people on Grab Your Keys. If you know of anyone who'd like to be on Grab Your Keys, don't hesitate to let us know. Great. And we'll see you next time on Grab Your Keys.
Thanks so much for having me.